All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Fortin. We have on with us Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. We're going to talk to you about today, about the latest winter storm, the looting that happened in Buffalo, and then we're going to talk about the acts of terrorism that have happened to the power grid, and then we'll see where the conversation goes and where Bob wants to go from there. So without further ado, Bob, thanks for being on. And which one do you want to get started with first?
Oh my gosh. Really, is there much to talk about? No. Well, we've just seen the reason why you're a prepper. You know, people call me a prepper. I know I have friends that make fun of me because, you know, Bob's always overcautious. But you know what? I had electricity during this storm, and they were doing roving brownouts. I had a nice Vermont Castings wood stove that put out a lot of heat. We definitely had food and water. And so, you know, even though it wasn't catastrophic here, you know, I still had what I need to provide for my family. And I know my wife and I were talking, and she told me how comfortable it makes her feel that I've touched all those bases, you know, and so that, you know, our family doesn't go without during those times. And so, you know, this is why we do what we do. This is why we store the food, we store the water filters we have. And this is one of the things I want to mention about water filters, because with this extreme Arctic temperature we've had, I would wager to say, oh, there's going to be a lot of people out there with Katadyns, MSRs, Berkeys, Alexa Pures, water drops, you know, Sawyer mini filters that had water in them that froze. And I will tell you, those are compromised, because this is the thing you cannot allow: a water filter with water in it to freeze, because water expands when it freezes, and there's a good chance you might not even see it, but I would say that there's a very, very high order of probability that that filter has some type of fracture in it, where you could be not filtering water at all, and it just can be passing through a small crack in the filter. That, like I said, you might not be able to see. With a Berkey, you can test it. You can use like red food dye. If the red food dye comes through, you know, not too good. And so you could test it that way, but, this is why, you know, we do what we do. This is why I brought it up, of why, you know, you can't let your water, filter freeze. You know, I was showing you beforehand that, now this is a little rusty one, but you can get these cans at Home Depot for like $2 Lowe's, $2 a piece. You can get this, which is just a roll of toilet paper, for what, 50 cents a dollar, whatever, you know. And, you know, I get this, I buy it 99% isopropyl alcohol. You can't drink it. Well, you could, but you, only once. But, you know, these, sorry, I had to add a little humor.
There are those who will.
Yeah, for sure. But what you do, if you take the lid off this, now you can see this one's dried up. But if I were to take this toilet paper and pull the cardboard out of it and then shove it in the can, and it would fit, shove it in the can. Even if it doesn't, I just take some of the toilet paper off. This acts as a wick. Okay. You can see some dried up toilet paper in there, cause I've used this a bunch of times. Okay. And then you just fill it full of that isopropyl alcohol. You've just made yourself a heater and a stove for a few bucks. The isopropyl alcohol. The nice thing also about this is that alcohol burning does not make carbon monoxide. So you're not going to poison yourself. You know, that you've always read the thing of people who bring the charcoal grill in and start, you know, using the charcoal to heat themselves, or.
And I ain't no joke that there's a lot of people who die every year from without an emergency.
Yeah. And then, you know, they poison themselves with carbon monoxide.
Yep.
And, you know, they're dead cockroach after that. And, you know, it can do a whole family. And so, you know, you have to be very, very careful. That's why You know, if you're ever using any kind of combustibles inside, I always recommend having a carbon monoxide detector. You can get them off Amazon for, you know, 20, 30 bucks. And that way, if you start reaching even any kind of, carbon monoxide detector, not a carbon dioxide detector, a monoxide detector. That way, you know, if you ever start getting anywhere near threshold, that thing will go off and alert you that you need to put fresh air in the house immediately and get the carbon monoxide out. But that's the nice thing about an alcohol stove is it does not make it. Now, this thing right here, this is about a 10 by 12 room I'm in, and it would bring this room above freezing. I could also use this to cook. If I had a quart saucer pan, it'll heat water up in that quart saucer pan in a few minutes. So if you had Peak Refuel or Mountain House or any of the other quick entree, you know, freeze-dried meals, you could boil the water and put it in there and make yourself a nice hot meal on a very cold day. Which would be very nice to do. So again, this is like a little prep tip. It works really well. I also always will say, whenever you're using open flame, candle, any kind of open flame, always, always, always have a fire extinguisher nearby. You know, the odds somebody kicking this over, knocking it over one time and spilling the alcohol and have it catch. Now, the nice thing, alcohol, it doesn't burn with the intensity of something like gasoline, but you still want to have a fire extinguisher nearby whenever you're doing it. If you're using a fireplace or anything with a chimney, we have a product called Chimfex, because if you ever look, go on the internet and you'll see people this year, I promise you, during this storm, people had chimney fires. They hadn't done their chimneys, cleaned them out in a while, and pine tar and resin and soot builds up in there, and the whole chimney catches on fire and then, you know, burns down your house. Mm-hmm. Chimfex is like a road flare, but instead of making a thing, it produces a gas that quickly extinguishes a chimney fire. So it's called Chimfex. It's on our website, and they're only, you know, you get like three of them for like 60 some bucks. And, you know, it's safe precaution that if you ever do have a chimney fire, it'll put that out. But, you know, fire safety is always preeminent whenever you're using open flame. As a former 18th century reenactor, fire was the number one cause of women dying in the 18th century. It wasn't childbirth. That was number two, because women were using lard, they were using flour, and they were using linen. Does that sound like a recipe for a disaster?
What, Doug? Was it, the Chicago fire in the 1800s?
Yeah, I think they said it was a cow kicked over a lantern or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was one of the stories. There was other stories about it, but, you know, it burnt down large portions of the city. But when people are using, you know, everybody's used to electricity right now. Some people still use propane, but when people are using open source, like a firefighter outdoor cooking, you know, I remember as a Boy Scout, when I went on a camp, you know, jamboree is what they called them, I would always come home with blisters on my hands, you know, because we had the fires. We cooked down an open fire out in the woods, and, you know, you burn yourself. So, you know, having good supplies for treating burns is another thing, but having a fire extinguisher and just using proper fire protocol in your house, if you have an open source flame like this, all I do is I just take two little bricks and put them on the side, and I, you know, go down to Walmart and get a little grill. You can get them in the camping section, put it on top, and then I've got myself a little stove so that I can do it. If people go to Ready Made Resources YouTube station, they can actually watch a video of me doing this, making an alcohol stove. So I recommend you can have those stored up, keep the alcohol sealed up, put the toilet paper in there, have them ready to go so that when you need it, power goes off, gets cold, whatever, heat goes off, you can keep one room in your house at least above freezing. You maybe, if it got really cold, use two of them, but it's very cheap to do it, very inexpensive. So it's just a little prep tip. And because we saw, and Doug, this is not going to stop what we're going to talk about next. This is what Marxists do. Now, I'm of the firm persuasion these transformer vandalisms, you know, when they're vandalizing, that's what the government calls it, vandalizing. If they knew Billy Bob with his pit bulls and AR-15 were doing it, it would be terrorism.
Yeah, no, this is an attack upon the infrastructure, which is
absolutely,
which is completely within the scope and authority of Homeland Security, specifically one of the agencies that I used to work for. And with critical infrastructure, that's called terrorism. They haven't said the word terrorism yet, and we know why. this damn government will not say anything because most likely it's their own cronies that are out there doing it. They're Antifa types, but everyone is looking for the right wing extremists. Here's a good thing. Here's a good thing you can do. You can FOIA the federal government and ask, when was the last time a declared right-wing extremist attacked the power grid? And then you can FOIA Oregon, California, Washington State, and ask, when was the last time an Antifa member, a left-wing extremist, attacked the power grid? You're going to get back quite a bit of police documents for it, because it happens regularly there. Regularly. Yeah. And it's the same area.
We have so many active elements in this country right now. I mean, obviously, we have pissed off the Russians. They could be here doing it through there are some elements that they control. The Chinese could be doing it through elements they control, or it could be the Democratic Party doing it. And now let me just say this, because people will think that might be a little conspiracy theory. But I want to break down really the two points of a Marxist revolution, what the goal of a Marxist revolution are. Excuse me. First of all, they have to undermine the current regime. You know, our constitution, our faith, all the things that they have to undermine to be able to get the people into such a frenzy that they're willing to accept dramatic measures to change their discomfort. Okay. So here's what they do. And this is textbook Marxism playbook. First, you make the population realize the government can't protect you. Now, forgive me, but who are the ones promoting defund the police, emasculate the police, do everything you can do? You know, I watched a car chase that lasted like 3 hours. The guy would wreck a car, run to another car, jump in.
Was that in California?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so many different times deadly force could have been used in that.
They didn't do it. And this guy, I mean, he actually brutalized people. He did one home invasion during the thing where he beat the guy and took the guy's car keys and drove off with his car. And yet, so all those people start to think, what are the police for? They can't protect me. And this is the first tenet of a Marxist revolution. The police or the government can't protect you. The second tenet is, who does this? The police can't protect you. Well, we know who's doing it. Two, the government can't provide for you. You know, they can't allow commerce or whatever is needed to provide. And so we start to see attacks on the power grid. The government can't protect its own power grid. And, you know, I'm going, you know, those people in more North Carolina, a week without power, and these attacks all over the country. I knew there would be an attack. I knew it. There would be an attack during this severe storm. Mm-hmm. It was too rich a target. But I didn't want to mention it beforehand because I didn't want anybody to say I was encouraging it. But I knew there would be. And there's going to continue to be attacks on our power grid, our infrastructure for communication, all the 17 elements of infrastructure. There'll be attacks because the government can't provide for you. Can the government provide diesel fuel? Well, it doesn't do a very good job of it. Can the government provide food? Well, the government's doing everything it can do. The Democrats, let me put the Democrats, are doing everything they can do to eviscerate nitrogen, ammonia, fertilizer, diesel fuel, your tractors, tractor trailers, harvesters, planters, all that. Every kind of way they can break the supply chain down during the thing that went happen for 2 years, they broke that down because everybody came to the conclusion the government can't provide for me. Those two things right there will create the modus operandi for a government, an illegal government, to come in and start to say, you know, if you follow us, we can provide for you and protect you, because they obviously can't. Doug, it is called the Great Reset. I mean, that's what they're doing. You know, we have to build back better. Well, to build back better, you need a wrecking ball.
Well, one thing I would say that the wrecking ball would be coming for, look out for this for domestic terrorism, right? I've been mentioning the power grid ever since I started doing a podcast well over a year ago now.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get off that hill, because that is the hill we'll die on, is the power grid. Everybody will die. Everybody will be affected. Now, not everybody will die, but everyone will be affected, and it will be the biggest amount of loss. There'd be more loss of lives from the power grid going down than us being invaded, than a nuclear bomb attack. The power grid would kill more people. People don't think about people that are on respirators, people that are in ICU, people that are in the retirement
CPAC
homes.
CPAC machines.
I mean, just everything that you have to survive is run off electricity. And that's not smart, you know. But look for this. Look for this. Cell phones.
You got to charge that with electricity.
Yep. Here's one thing I'd tell people to look out for. Attacks on railroads and bridges. These are parts of the critical infrastructure that we are supposed to monitor. We're supposed to update. We're supposed to have a maintenance plan for. And whenever the inspector generals years ago went across America's highways and our bridges, like half of them failed inspections. Remember that? Half the bridges.
Well, Doug, you remember the bridge that goes from Tennessee to it goes across the Mississippi River. I'm having a brain thing right now. But you remember just a few years ago, they saw that major stress crack in that bridge, and they had to shut it down. And that is a huge thoroughfare with millions of pounds of cargo go across it every day.
Yep.
And so the traffic had to be rerouted.
If you know, you gotta think about the evolution of domestic terrorism. This isn't so much as Timothy McVeigh's attacking the federal government, and you know, people can get into that conspiracy theory all they want. But the attack happened, right? So let's just talk about the attack. If you take the same busload, truckload of Projo, homemade explosives, and you put that near the Golden Gate Bridge, you put that near one of these gigantic double-decker bridges during a high time of traffic, you can kill a lot of people, right? But not only that, but you can completely isolate places. You know, there's been a lot of different videos, like Batman's one of them, where they took out all the bridges around New York City, right? If we took out all the bridges around New York City, guess what New York City is?
It turns into zombie land.
Yeah, it's an island. It is a free-for-all. And, you know, and nobody's getting out safely, right? So all these things take time when infrastructure is attacked. Commerce is the first thing that's affected. And then your ability to travel back and forth. And then also you got to think about this. But if we ever got attacked, the way our troops would move back and forth is through these bridges, through these highways, and now they got to be rerouted. And all this takes time, okay? If we ever had an actual sophisticated attack, a complex ambush on our country, bridges, railroads, if you take down the grid and you tear up the railroad, well, once you eventually get, because we do have key areas where we do have these large substation transformers, but there's not many of them. So, you know, and the thing about these large transformers is that they can only be moved by rail. They have to be moved very slowly. And the entire railway from wherever it's being delivered to wherever it's arriving to has to be completely inspected, because it's like freaking 70 tons or something like that. So by the time the train choo-choos all the way down there, it could actually be collapsing the ground underneath it or the bridge that's not maintained underneath it. And there goes you know, your power grid. You ain't going to get that thing unstuck out of the mud. We don't have enough cranes big enough to do it. No. So,
and Doug, you know,
go ahead.
Okay. If it ever comes to the point where the military needs to travel, I can promise you, you're not going to be traveling. If critical infrastructure, meaning highways and roadways, are necessary for national security and the transport of troops and material from point A to point B, you're not going to be on that road. Yeah, they're not going to take a chance of some terrorist blowing up, you know, a bridge somewhere or a tunnel. You know, I just recently, my son and his wife just went to go visit my mother in Virginia Beach. There's only four ways in and out of Virginia Beach, four infill and exfill ways out of Virginia Beach. Believe me, my son knew every one of them. because, you know, over Christmas, that's a major military area. If something happened, I wanted them to know how to get out of that place and get home.
And isn't one of them an underwater tunnel?
Yeah, it's Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel.
God, that's always so. I remember when I had to go through that a couple times to go to D.C. or whatever stupid thing we were doing. That always scared me.
Yeah, there's a Elizabeth River Bridge and the Hampton Roads. But, you know, one thing I like about the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel is as you're going through it, you go across the bridge. Usually, Norfolk is the largest naval base in the world. And so you usually see five Nimitz or some Ford class aircraft carriers there, usually three or four of them that are docked there. And those things, I mean, you really get a perspective of how massive those things are because they're off to your right-hand side as you're going into Virginia Beach, on your left-hand side as you're leaving it. But my son, I wanted him to know the four methods to exfil Virginia Beach if something happened and he had to get home. If they closed down a road because of the winter storm we had or whatever. He knew how to get out of that place. And, you know, that's why I always recommend people, if you live in an area that you have to access with bridges or for whatever, that you absolutely have a hard map of knowing how to get in and out of a community. I mean, you know, if I had to go across the Mississippi River Bridge every day, I would know the other ways to get around that. I wouldn't be wanting to know where's the detour sign. I got to go down. Did we go too far? Did we miss the detour sign? I don't want to be that guy.
Well, and I want to know. When I was stationed in New Jersey with DHS, lovely area, Camden, New Jersey, we had actually discussed, you know, if something ever happened to the bridges, the Delaware Memorial Bridge that's on 295. Then you have the Ben Franklin Bridge that connects downtown Philly with Camden, New Jersey. You know, and there's a couple bridges in between all these things. But if they were ever grossly affected, you had to travel hours to find something to cross. And the bridges aren't always open. So from Delaware all the way up into like where Pennsylvania, New Jersey and New York all kind of connect, like a tri-state kind of area. That's like near Bear's Tavern. You know, you have to literally drive all the way around in order to get all the way up there just to come all the way back down to like Rio Grande.
Well, that would be like Virginia Beach. The worst way to leave would be across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, because that way you'd have to go up towards Washington and come back down around.
And first responders will be commandeering all of the tugboats, all of the ferries, anything that can move us from point A to point B. You ain't going to be on it.
No. And they're not going to risk having some civilian terrorists go through the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel with a truck packed full of, you know, whatever. You know, you can't even do that now. I mean, you know, if you can't drive explosives or propane or any of those things through that tunnel, you know, you have to divert to a different way. But if it comes down to a national crisis, they're just not going to let civilians use those roads.
No, the interstates will be completely locked down with vehicle checkpoints.
So,
you will be funneled into most likely into a secondary screening area. You know, I mean, that's just
I was using this weekend. This is the HF radio, ICOM 705. It's a really, really good radio, but you know, just I was using it, listening to the storm data coming out of Buffalo of ham radio operators there. They were operating under emergency conditions, given sit reps of their particular area. And again, this is why you want to have this, because your cell phone can be taken down. Satellites can be taken down. All those things that use a network system can be taken down. That's not going to be taken down. And so that's why I recommended. I was playing some stuff, you know, to you before the program. But during the storm, when it was really in its heyday, you know, a couple of days ago, you were actually getting those sit rep reports from people telling you their local conditions. And it was really nice to sit here and just listen and hear what was going on, which brings us to the thing that, you know, how thin is the layer of civilization in this country? Because, I mean, you know, these people, I mean, they had to go out. We saw looting. I saw people stealing big screen TVs.
America is one Band-Aid away from bleeding out.
A Band-Aid? My gosh. I mean, you know, I don't even think it's that anymore. They weren't stealing food. Some of them were. But, I mean, it was stealing stuff that was just absolutely insane.
Listen, I was listening to, or I was reading something, our friend Tony that runs Heroes Nation. And a friend of his got sent a text message. I want to read this to you. You want to talk about ridiculous? let's talk about completely ridiculous, okay? So there's a guy named Frank that he knows, and he's in Erie County, all right? And he got a text from his neighbor who's a probation judge, and they're talking about why people are out there looting and how dangerous it got just, within a matter of hours of the blizzard hitting. We're not talking about people freezing and dying. I think so far, unfortunately, like 80 people have lost their lives
I
because of
probably
the
think it's a lot
storm.
higher than that, but
Yeah,
anyhow.
it probably is. I mean, the homeless population just got decimated.
Yeah, and elderly that couldn't afford the heating oil.
That's right. So listen, this is what was happening. Okay, so guy named Frank that he knows text him that an Erie County probation judge that lives across the street from him in the Black Rock section in Buffalo, New York, mentioned to her that all the stores being raided, home invasions, carjackings, people were being pulled out of their vehicles and robbed. Listen to me. Home invasions during a blizzard. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. As someone who spent 10 years in law enforcement, every criminal that's out there will take advantage of every situation, period. You need to be armed in this country. But if you live in areas like this, God help you. So this was the message. Bail reform, this is from the judge, okay? Bail reform doesn't allow people with petty larceny arrests to be taken into custody. It's often really hard to figure out who the person was that had the break-in in the first place. Everyone else is just committing petty larceny. So all the people that are out there robbing errands and robbing all these other places, and I mean, they're not just opening the door and taking a few food items and writing an IOU. Here's my number. I'll come back with some money when the power's on. Dude, they looted everything. There wasn't a cigarette behind the aisle that was left. And guess what else wasn't there? Wasn't a bottle of liquor left. There wasn't a beer left. They took everything. All right. This is where I threw my hat down when I was reading this. Everyone else is just committing petty larceny. Petty larceny. She says, I think people are getting really desperate for food. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck and get paid on Friday. Everything was closed. People weren't able to get Christmas food and shopping for their kids. And who knows how long people have had empty refrigerators. I'm hearing that looting is mostly food stores. Okay, so when you have a bleeding heart liberal judge who says, you know what? It's just petty larceny. They're just trying to get food. They weren't able to buy Christmas presents for their kids. No, Jack, try that in Texas. You'll get shot for it. But you know what was happening? They did have some store owners who were shooting at the people that were coming in there, attacking them and taking all the stuff. That's their stuff, man. Like if this is like my store and you come in here and you say, hey, poor planning. I don't have water. I don't have toilet paper. I don't have food. And I forgot to get my kid a Nintendo. I'm going to take your stuff. Well, you're going to die for it.
Yeah,
That is the goal of being an American, is being self-reliant and having to stand up for your constitutional rights. Law enforcement wasn't around for a blizzard. They can barely get around as it is. And when you
well, they
have all
actually.
this, you have all this deplatforming of law enforcement. Hey, dude, they're in wrecks themselves half the time.
Yeah, they actually, some of the emergency service providers came out and said, no one's coming to the rescue. We're not
No.
putting ambulances. We're not putting police. We're not putting fire trucks on the
I've been
road
in
right
there. I've been in there. Whenever we had that
now.
snowmageddon in like 2014 that happened in the Northeast, it took me 3 hours to get from my townhouse in Bear, Delaware to Camden, New Jersey, to the courthouse where I reported every day. And I think between like the time I had left and before I even crossed the Delaware Memorial Bridge on 295, I'd probably already stopped for like 30 different people. By the time I cross the bridge and I get into Jersey, I've already had the entire road, and thank God I had a four-wheel drive Tahoe then, but I already had the entire road littered with turned over 18-wheelers, leaking gas, people hurt. Everyone and their mother is stuck because everyone's trying to go around. And I mean, it's chaos. A winter storm is chaos. add the criminality. That's where we're at in America. You're talking about how thin is the veneer of protection in America. You're one bad storm away from someone kicking your door down and taking your stuff now. That's America.
It is, you know, in which we could divert right now, you know, and we need to do it because why? That's always the question. And nobody ever wants to ask the question why. You know, there's questions in this country we can't ask why to, because they might be not the politically correct answer to give. So you can't ask why. You just have to look at it and kind of grin and say, well, golly boom, what's going on there? Forgive my hillbilly talk there, you know, but that's what you have to do. So, but there's always the reason why. Why is this happening? And, you know, a couple months ago, I think I mentioned that I was reading St. Augustine, The City of God. And in the first chapter, he brings in the fact that Christians were blamed so often for hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, whatever went on, the sacking of Rome. I mean, they were blamed for it, burning of Rome, because Christians forbid or did not worship the pantheon of gods, you know? And so, you know, that they were blamed because those gods were the ones they looked to protect them. Well, in the United States, for the longest time, it's been the church that has supposedly, their mission, it is the mission of the church, to preach the gospel, to preach peace among men, to preach civility, to preach the law of God, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, those kind of things. And yet they have completely abdicated their role in doing it to get along, you know. And we have seen the resurgence of the former gods come back. And all of the trappings of the former gods, the Baal, Nibiru, the religions of Babylon, all this have now come flooded back into our country. I cannot believe that in my generation, I grew up, you know, born in 55, and I grew up in a largely Christian, you know, nation. And now, you know, 50% of Protestant churches have adhered to the LGBTQ doctrine. They have completely forsaken. They're inviting the gods of Babylon back in. And we wonder why we see this anarchy, why we saw this lawlessness, and why we see the murder rates, the theft rates, all this stuff. We, you know, everything that they did, this former pantheon of gods, and it all starts in Babylon and comes up. You know, the child sacrifice, we see that in abortion. We see that now with the mutilation of our children. I see recently there's this tower, or the entrance to the Temple of Baal. You've seen that going across the country. It's a gateway. We all know what that represents. It lets something in. And so this gateway of Baal is traveling around the country. They set it up. They have a meeting around it, and people give homage to it and worship it. You remember the Commonwealth Games? Where they had the big, huge bull that came out representing Baal and people were worshiping it. What do you think's going to happen when you allow these pagan gods to reassert themselves in your civilization? I mean, you know, I'm not a psychology major, but I can kind of figure this one out. You know, I read what Baalism, and you know what word comes from Baal, don't you, Doug? Cannibalism. I mean, you know, and we're seeing a resurgence of cannibalism. And I'm telling you, you know, what we're going to see, and we're seeing it now, all of these gods, in which are just nothing but fallen angels, as they make resurgence in our nation, we're going to see all the wickedness that they brought to the people. You know, that's why God said, drive them out completely when Israel went into the land, and they didn't do it. And they become a perpetual plague to the people of Israel. Drive them out. You got to get rid of them. You got to shut them down. No tolerance, zero tolerance. There's no diversity here. No tolerance. And they didn't do it. Just like now we're opening the doors back up. And so we see child sacrifice coming back. I mean, I just see the brutalization of children. There's a picture I saw of two young girls that had Frankenstein scars across their chest. where they had, you know, their breasts removed, and they were horribly looking Frankenstein skulls. I'll never forget that picture. You know, and we see the rape of our children. We see the rise of Satanism and all these, you know, New Age mystery religions. And I'm telling you, we're seeing human trafficking, which is nothing more than slavery. Doug, I'm telling you, you people might think I'm crazy, but you're going to see the actor promotion. We see it now. They're promoting cannibalism. There's been those articles, like in the, I think it was one of the New York newspapers. I don't want to say which one, would be wrong.
Boy, and you had Katy Perry, who was talking about it, like her. She was on this, I don't know the podcast name, but she was on there and she was talking about this French delicacy that tastes just like pork. And it's actually people that have died, and they donate their bodies to this chef organization, and then they eat the dead body.
Yeah. Well, Doug, in the realms of cannibalism, a human is called a human pig. That's what they call it, the human pig.
Long pork.
Yeah, and that's what it's called. But we're seeing the emergence of it, and just like how people scoffed at the widespread, thing of pedophilia 10 years ago. Oh, yeah, there might be some perverts in some dark alley doing this every once in a while. And people were saying, it's everywhere.
You want to see how bad it is? Go into Google Maps and type in like your pedophile research. And look at your area, your address, and just count. You know, when I was in Marine Corps base Hawaii, I was stationed in Hawaii. I think right off the back gate in Kaneohe Bay, there's like 300 pedophiles the back gate.
All you have to do is type in pedophiles in zip code such and such, and they'll come up. Just Google it.
You know, I want to say this because we're talking about the paganism, the occultism, and, you know, way back in the day, I was a pagan. I did the worshiping stuff of Odinism, and, you know, whenever I became a Christian, it really opened my eyes to like just how widespread it was. Now, I didn't do anything weird or occultic or anything like that. It's really Odinism is a rah-rah alpha male Chad type expression. Yeah.
Viking.
You know, yeah. And you know, my family comes from Norway. So, you know, in my family, it's kind of, you know, not unknown, but at the same time, what's interesting is growing up, I remember growing up and, you know, people would say, are you a Christian? And you'd be like, oh yeah. Right. And then now if people say, you know, are you a Christian? And you say, yeah. And they go, oh, and they look at you like, oh, you're one of them now.
Yeah.
It used to be, oh, you're a Christian. Okay. We're good. We're friends. And you ask somebody, are you not a Christian? And they go, no, I'm not. And they're like, look at this pariah over here. Yeah, doesn't believe in God. Yeah. Yeah. You reprobate heretic. And now it's the complete opposite. You don't believe in the new Green Deal. You don't want to eat bugs. You know what I just recently heard? And man, this is starting to make me mad. I don't know at this point in time what Hollywood actor I can actually like enjoy a movie for anymore. So everybody has seen Avengers and Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. is now promoting eating bug protein, mealworm bug protein.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you what I'm promoting. Before I came on here, I had 4 boiled eggs and a 24-ounce steak and some potatoes. That's called breakfast. So if you want to look like these people, then go ahead and eat bugs.
Bugs are filled also with
parasites.
Yeah, parasites. I mean, there are bugs that lay eggs inside of other bugs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's nasty food.
Well, and what's the goal of the goal? It's this whole new Green Deal and the cow flatulence and all that. Every time something dies, it's giving off this, you know, the remnants of its body as it decomposes into our atmosphere. And that's how you have an ozone. You bunch of jackasses. The science knew that one 200 years ago, and yet they're like, oh man, we got to get rid of anything alive. No, it's a depopulation problem.
Absolutely. Well, that's the whole thing
there's too many of us useless eaters.
Well, that's the whole reason why they're doing this with young men. I mean, with what young men, when they give them bad food, you see all these little chubby boys, You know, when you go through puberty, overweight like that, we have a lot of excess fat on your body, that a lot of your testosterone that you make stores in the fat. You don't actually become a man. You don't become a full man. You become a girly boy.
Whenever you eat this overly processed food, the white sugar, you know, all this stuff, it hampers your testosterone and your growth hormone factors. And you know, I used to be really big into bodybuilding back whenever I was really big. And I learned all this stuff. And back then, because I was doing it for, you know, physical fitness, to be a physical fitness instructor, I knew all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, this is like common, you know, everybody knows you got to eat these vegetables in this meat and work out this long and do this much cardio and be really strict and no alcohol, no tobacco. And you're going to look like Arnold. Add in a little, you know, DECA and D-ball, Anadrol and test, and you're going to look like Arnold, right? But now it's demasculation. You know how many times I was told, you're too alpha male-ish. You're too intense. And in my mind, I'm just sitting there like, look, I don't write poetry. I'm not a baker. I'm not a potter. I slung an axe at people. You have to have guys like me, like Bob, like others. Look, and we're this much of the equation. That much of the equation are guys like me. But that much of the equation is what stops the other group.
You know, but I want to continue with this. You know, just recently, Joe Biden's Christmas decorations had a Baphomet in it.
Well, I mean, and Doug, Barack Obama had all that voodoo stuff in there as well. Yeah.
These things are idols. These things represent demonic spirits that when you put those in your house, you know, when you bring a Buddha into your house, you bring those spirits in your house with you.
Well, and so people have been sold on this peaceful vibes and getting the what are they called? Like enchanted, like crystals.
Yes.
And you know, and all the incense and listen, man, you're being sold lies. You're being sold lies. You need the peace of God, not the peace of every other God.
You know, just Doug, even the Hollywood movies, I wrote down a few here. The Immortals, you know, these are the gods that come down with among men and breed with them. The Gods of Egypt, 2016, talks about the Nephilim, Clash of the Titans. Zeus comes down and has sex with a mortal woman and produces a superhuman. You know, the new Avatar movie. You become a gibberine. That's when you become from a man to a Superman. And that's what we see happening in those movies. And you know, all we have to do is also look at the Gothard Tunnel. Do you remember that? I mean, anybody who's not watched the videos on that the Gothard freaky. Tunnel or the CERN dedication needs to go watch those. I mean, make sure you pray before you go watch them. But you need to watch them because they are absolutely, I mean, they have Satan figures in these dedication videos. The Commonwealth Games that they had in London, what was 72 nations represented, was amazing. That's how many people Jesus sent out to the nations to witness, 72. But they had that giant Baal bull. Where people were worshiping it, and it really the women, the way they were dressed, it was like Baalism. It was a sexual form of worship they were doing, you know.
Well, Katy Perry wore the red dress and rode the beast in a Super Bowl.
Was it Beyonce that just rode the four different horses: the white horse, the green horse, the black horse? I mean, you know,
these people who make a mockery of God, they think they have unlimited protection. And it's all going to come crashing down around them. But here's the thing, though. It's going to get worse.
Much worse.
It's going to get worse.
Was it Cardi B? I don't know if you heard that song that she sang.
Some reason I don't listen to her. I don't.
Yeah, I heard the song, and it was nothing more than absolute worshiping of the male organ. Mm-hmm. And at the same time that song was praised, Baby, It's Cold Outside was forbidden to be played on the radio.
That's one of me and my wife's like favorite songs. I like to sing while we're driving together, you know. But that, once again, it's anti-family, anti-God for one thing, anti-God, anti-family, anti-alpha male. Like every male should be an alpha male. There's no escape around that. Every male should be able to go outside, collect firewood, send a deer, right? If there's a pipe busted in your house, you should be able to fix it yourself. And I get it. Not everybody's trained to certain levels. Hey, man, that doesn't like, I don't make knocks at people for that. But when you start giving over your authority as a man in your house, and you have to have another man bring his level of authority in your house to fix your problem, dude, you got a problem. Like, read a book, learn something, you know, go outside and get dirt on your fingernails.
I, not to brag, but this studio I'm sitting in, it's a two-story addition to my house, bathrooms, air conditioning, plumbing, all of it's in there.
You got my a beautiful house, by the way.
Well, you've seen this. I built this. It's not that I'm any smarter than anybody else. I remember somebody told me one time, you know, cause I do ceramics. I've built guitars, build houses. You know, I do organic gardening. I'm a ham radio operator, and people go, gosh, you can do so much. And I said, well, let me put it in perspective for you. You know, in the 18th century, the average man, they didn't have a lot of tradesmen on the frontier. That man had to do everything from build his house to build the fireplace in his house
and the furniture,
to hunt the food, to grow the garden. Mm-hmm. If somebody got a broken bone or injured, he had to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that same man defended himself and his family. And when they were being invaded, that same man was at the punishment of death. If you didn't show up, had to show up with a gun, with so many cartridges, some sort of body armor that they used to have back then, or a sling pouch, a haversack that has your materials in it, and you had to show up for the militia.
And a battle axe. I mean, a lot of them used a battle axe. I mean, during the French and Indian War, which, you know, the Fort Loudoun here was the furthest expansion of the British Empire in the 1750s. I mean, we reenacted that, and I mean, I'm telling you, you know, that's up close personal warfare when you're using a battle axe on people and whacking their heads with it and splitting it wide open. You know, that's what they had to do. And today, I mean, people can't do anything. And the schools are, you know, you keep sending your kids to the same schools and expecting a different outcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is why, you know, you got to get your kids out of that.
Well,
place.
You know, the reason why I was late from us starting this, because we were supposed to start like 5-6 minutes before we started, was because I was wrapping up the beginning portions of my kids' homeschool lessons.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm the teacher. You know, my wife's taking over right now.
That's
that is the way it should be.
The Bible commands you to be their primary instructor. You know, and that's the thing when you go to a medical doctor and they say, "Who's your primary healthcare provider?" I went, "I am." Mm-hmm. Who's yours? I mean, you're not going to make sure I don't sit there and pound down two quarts of Ben and Jerry's. You know, I'm going to make sure I don't do that. I'm going to make sure I go to the gym and work out. I'm going to make sure I eat properly and I get good rest. I'm my primary healthcare provider. Who's yours? You know, the Bible commands you as the father of your family to be their children's primary educator. It doesn't mean you can't use other assets to educate your children, but you can't expect to send your children into Satan's school for 8 to 12 hours a day. And then you come home and spend 4 or 5 minutes with them and read them a little VeggieTales story about the Bible and expect that to do anything. It's not going to work. You're going to end up with a bunch of children who hate your guts, hate the country, hate police, hate their gender, hate the Constitution, hate decency, hate the Bible, hate Jesus. That's what you're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, with mathematical certainty, that's what you're going to end up with. And if you think anything else other than that, you are drinking Kool-Aid with, you know, Jim Jones version.
Well, if you think anything else than that, you are considered to be an enemy of the state.
You know,
if you wish to be relinquished from the reins of the state, you're going to have to be a little daring.
Yeah. You know, James Yeager, forgive the phrase, but, you know, he said, you know, people are into their midget donkey porn. And that's okay. In today's world, that's okay. If you want to be into the most bizarre, weird sexual stuff, all the sex practices of Canaan and Babylon, those are cool. The one sex practice that's not permissible anymore is a man and a woman producing children, godly children. That's patriarchy. That's like, oh my gosh, look at these, you know, Neanderthals.
Oh, you know, all these women who scream the white patriarchy. I would love to take all of you on a lovely trip to Iraq.
Oh, Iraq. How about Somalia?
Oh, hey, I'll take you to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
How about Turkey?
I've been to Saudi Arabia. I've been to Turkey. I've been to all those places. I've seen the woman. She has to walk behind the man. You can't walk side by side with the woman.
I saw a group of guys that was walking around near the airport in Istanbul. And they had, you know how they walk around those long sticks? You know what I'm talking about? And so there was like a group of women. And they're just, there's like three or four women, you know, they're in their full garb and they're walking by and they're just like whacking them in the ankles with this, like herding them like cattle. And, you know, I was doing other things for the government back then. And, you know, me and the guys that I was with were like, could you imagine growing up like this? Like, could you imagine those guys going, you know, back home and acting like that towards women? But it's happening. Dearborn, Michigan.
As we allow the gods of Babylon and Canaan back into our civilization,
there's your slavery.
I'm telling you, you know, we're not that far removed from actual, you know, slave markets.
Yep.
Now they're still all around the world, but the United States is only 175 years away from a slave market. You know, back in the mid 18th century, 19th century, you could still buy and sell slaves. In this country. And, you know, when you bought that slave, there's many of mulatto children because the white master, you know, he owned the slave. He got to sexually do whatever he wanted to do to it.
Well, and it goes beyond that because I did plenty of research on this when I was going to college. And in the late 1800s, and really the blame comes with the modern industrial revolution. In the late 1800s to early 1900s, the most common form of slavery was an indentured servant. The most common form of an indentured servant was an Irish American. And those family units of, you know, a mother, father, multiple children would live in a small corner, maybe 10 square feet with two sheets wrapped around it. And that's where they cooked. That's where they used the restroom. That's where they bathed. That's where they slept on top of each other in rags. And to get the children out of poverty by living in these industrial revolution mindsets, because you got to understand these families, they lived in the factories, They lived in the warehouse. There were literally ancestors of people who, you know, they all pulled this one lever. That was their people, right? And they would sell their children to other families, like prominent families who couldn't have children. They would go to these factories and they would parade the children out and they'd clean up the little girls. They'd clean up the little boys here, you know, just take them for anything, get them out of here.
Well, and I'm telling you, as we allow the gods of Babylon, Cain, and all these pantheon of fallen angel gods to come back to the United States, we wonder why we see the looting, the murder, the crime, the lawlessness. Wonder why we see the depravity, the perversion, the transgenderism, the gender confusion.
Going back to what that judge said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I have to say this. There's no excuse for criminality. There's no excuse for breaking the law. There's no excuse for going out there and rioting and looting. And I don't care if you didn't plan properly. There are places where you can go where you can get supplies, like your neighbor's house, not with your foot through the door, right? But with your hand extended out. That part of America has died. In the majority of these Democratic cities, I'm telling you, this is not racist when I say this. This is an FBI statistic. You are more than likely during these times, for whatever reason, going to experience robbery, kidnapping, rapes, aggravated assault, prostitution, drug running. You're more than likely going to experience that in a large city than you ever are out in the country like you and I are. And there's a reason for that. Poverty has, like cancer, been so thickened up within these cities that it's clogged every artery of goodness that was left. And that's why the Democrats hoard hoard over these cities. In every one of these cities, there's a principality of power that's controlling everything that's happening. That's why you see that it's so demonic now. I mean, it's demonic. When you go down to downtown Dallas, buddy, you better have your gun on you. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. You go 70 miles the other way to Fort Worth, meh, you're fine.
Go to Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Memphis. Go to Chattanooga. It is, you better be armed. Again, this is what I want people to see, is the spiritual aspect of it. And it's only, I'm telling you, being a conservative is not going to cut it. No. It's only as you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand on God's word. I mean, how unpopular it might become, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know, the word is the foundation. It's the rock upon which we stand. And it's only as you stand on that rock in these days, because Jesus warned that as we approach the end of the age, deception would be our greatest enemy. In fact, it says in one of Paul's epistles that that if it were possible, that even the elect could be deceived. Now, I don't think it is possible, but I think it's that close that the elect could be deceived. So it's only as you stand, because you're not able. I want to finish this. You're not able to stand against a being that has an IQ into the thousands. You might have an IQ of 150 and be considered brilliant, and you would be. But you're standing against beings that have IQs of maybe 3, 4, 5,000. There's only as you're protected by the Holy Spirit, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, empowered by Jesus, can you stand against these things. Because I'm telling you, the very, very worst of Babylon, the very worst of Canaan, child sacrifice, slavery, prostitution temples, all of it are coming back to this country. And we are just absolutely in free fall right now. In just a few more years, you're not going to even recognize anything. And it is insane to see what's going on. And just like Israel, you know, during the time of Solomon, gold was like pebbles on the ground. It was a wealthy nation. It was enlightened. People came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And just like for hundreds of years, people looked at the American dream and saw, wow, look at these Americans, what they've done. They've revolutionized the world. Look at their inventions. Look at their government. Look at the liberty. Look at the prosperity that they've had. And then we turn to doctrines of demons. And you look how shortly our economy is wrecked. Our education is wrecked. Our news media is wrecked. Our government is wrecked. Every institution that this country used to have, that it used to showcase, is now some kind of pervert thing.
Well, and look at your politicians. Your politicians buddy up to communist China. Communist China, where they literally kill people every day because of their beliefs.
Or take their organs.
Well, hey, that's happening in Ukraine on the battlefield.
Yeah.
If you're dying or dead recently, they're coming by and they're taking your organs. I mean, man, we're talking about bizarro land. Hey, let me ask you something before we leave. We're 57 minutes into this right now. What do you think it means, no flesh left alive?
I think it's a multifaceted. We see through these movies and through science and CRISPR technology and all these things, the transformation away from pure blood humans. Now, just even people who were not, you know, took the magic thing that we don't talk about, they're actually calling pure bloods now. And there's vaccine. I mean, there's blood banks where people want pure blood. Mm-hmm. You know, over the next 10 years, they're going to introduce 500 new vaccines. 500. I'm not making that number up. 500. You know, when does a human not become a human anymore? So it'll be through that. It'll be through war. The Bible tells us twice that a quarter of humanity and a third of humanity will be killed. So it's a multifaceted thing for the destruction of all life on this planet. And so that's what it means. You will not see real human beings anymore. And they're actually saying this.
Well, I think Kurzweil
is coming out and saying that by 2045, humanity will be humanity 2.0.
Well, I think the advent of the super soldier is finally starting to.
That's occur. Kurzweil. That's Kurzweil stuff. Yeah,
and hey, you know, there's a bunch of videos. There's a bunch of book series, movies that talk about super soldiers and, you know, guys that are, you know, Goliath-like. They're all Goliath-like.
Avatar. Mm-hmm. A regular man becomes this 10, 12 foot tall, you know, super being through genetic transformation, a transfer body entity.
Well, and it's all to whittle your faith down in Christ. Christ is where our strength lies, not in man.
Absolutely.
Right? Not in anything in this fallen world. And I've said this recently, I'm going to say this again, Bob. Every nation is Babylon at this point in time. Every city has turned into Babylon. We are a reflection of Babylon. And with that comes those customs, comes that technology, comes that that Nimrod will eventually show up. You know, eventually you can't have all these wars and rumors of wars and the pestilence and the diverse earthquakes and you can't have all that without eventually the man of sin, the man of peace, coming onto the scene and calming the waves like Christ did, because he's going to be a reflection of that, the anti, right? And that's exactly what I'm looking for. That's why whenever we see all this stuff with the pandemic, 2.0 world, everything now is a QR code. Everything, you know, I think it's in DC right now. You have to have a QR code to get into Whole Foods. You can't get in there unless you have their app with their QR code. You physically can't get into it. Well, what happens when the storm of a lifetime hits and you need to get into that Whole Foods to get all your, you know, super hippie food, and you can't because your phone didn't update?
What happens when you go to a digital currency and you're not, because you're not politically astute enough or politically connected enough or have the right doctrine or theology or beliefs, and you are demonetized?
Hey, all of you with social media, I'll give you a heads up. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever the hell else is out there, you got MAGA anything on there, you just got profiled. Anything MAGA.
Doug Hagman, and I recommend going to Doug and help supporting him, you know, the Hagman and Hagman Report, because he was just deplatformed. They just deplatformed him off Patreon. So, you know, the source of his income was dried up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was trying to buy a couple boxes of ammo online the other day, and I tried to use my Citibank card and it wouldn't work.
Ah, strange.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. And it's not that I haven't paid my bill.
There's your black market. There's your black market. That's where that's going to come into. You know, and please help support Doug Hagman. I love Doug Hagman. He's a good guy. Absolutely. But I'm on Patreon. But understand this. I got deplatformed from PayPal and Vimeo. You remember that? I got taken down from PayPal and Vimeo. I actually got a video of it. Me and my wife, I got an email, and it says that you've been taken down from PayPal and also Vimeo. Well, because my wife's account and my sister-in-law's account were on there, because, you know, we have this small poultry farm. So we do, you know, a lot of digital transactions through PayPal, you know, small, you know, $20, $50, $30 transactions through PayPal. It's too easy, right? Well, because they were linked to me, they all got their stuff taken away. So, you know, what happens whenever, you know, you're doing business with somebody who gets deplatformed and then they take down everything else that's connected to it? I mean, dude, like that, they can unplug you from the system. I mean, like that, you can be unplugged and standing there like Laura Loomer. Remember this a few years ago? Poor Laura Loomer. Help support her as well. I've tried to get her on the show a few times. But, you know, they Visa canceled her, Discover canceled her, her, I think it was like her cell phone service canceled her, the banks canceled her, social media canceled her, and she's a reporter. How am I supposed to pay my bills and do my job if no one will allow me to live? And I remember she went on InfoWars and was pleading with Alex Jones, I don't know what to do. And I'm driving around in my Govy thinking, man, I don't ever want to be put in that type of a situation. That's why I'm working for the federal government. And now here I am, right? You know, I mean, dude, your life can end overnight with just a few keystrokes at this point. That's the type of control that we warn people about.
And this is why, you know, you need to stock up today, because it is coming. The systems of this country are breaking down. The financial, supply chain, fuel, energy, communication, it's all breaking down. And sooner or later, you're going to get caught. you know, that can't happen to me, and it is going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. And yep. Your grocery store is not going to have food. Your water tap's not going to work. You know, you're not going to be able to communicate through your cell phone or whatever. And I just think of the people when the power goes off, like it's gone off. And, you know, you got looters. And, you know, that's why night vision, you know, that's why this is so important, because you've seen the power grid going down and down. Do you think when the power grid goes off, looters are going to take advantage of it? Oh, my gosh. That's number one. Hey.
And we're not talking about looters walking around with baseball bats, crowbars, or we're not talking about corn pops, you know, and Joe Biden's effort to fight off the corn pop wave. We're talking about people now who own AR-15s, semi-automatic shotguns, automatic weapons, walking around with ballistic plate carriers and kicking your door in. Oh, by the way, and they're also posing themselves to be law enforcement. In the middle of the night, you get woken up, police open the door, and everyone's scared, and then it's a game on.
Yeah, game on. You know, so again, you know, we do have the night vision in stock, ready to ship, 24-hour shipping. But this right here, you know, when the power goes out, this right here is your lifesaver. It really is. I can't overstate the importance of having it. But anyhow, I know we've probably gone a little bit over. But if anybody wants to call me, they can call me at 800-627-3809 or go to my website, readymaderesources.com. But what I want to really leave with, Doug, is the fact that we are seeing spiritual wickedness come into our country like never before. We are seeing Romans 1, a totally godless, depraved, God-abandoned society happen right before our eyes. And I encourage people, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Turn to the Lord. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you turn to him and ask him for forgiveness and walk in repentance, he will forgive you. He will restore you. He will put your life back together again. You know, you might have ashes for your life. That's what you look at it. My life is just burnt ashes. You know, God, even in the worst of forest fires, you add a little water to that forest and those new little saplings start coming back again. If you turn to the Lord right now, he will cause you to stand in this wicked day, and he will restore your life. He will renew your life. He will heal you and bring you into his kingdom. And so that's what I pray for, really, is that people would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart and call upon him. Get in the word. Start reading the Bible. Even if you're reading a little bit every day, read it. And then go from there and let God do his perfect work in your life. And that's what I want to leave people with, because that's the only thing in eternity that is going to matter.
Well, let this be the altar call for anyone who needs it. Now's not the time to play games with God.
Yeah. If people want to call me, I mean, I'll pray with you. Again, 800-627-3809. I'll pray with you. I'll tell you how to turn to the Lord, you know, how to, what they call the standard sinner's prayer. I don't like that phrase too much, but you know, it is, will you turn your heart to the Lord? If you're Doug, this time of the year is murder on veterans. They might not have a family, and it's depressing for shut-ins or people who don't have families, you know, and suicide, you know, call a friend, call somebody and just talk, because your life has value. God created you for a purpose, and let him fulfill that purpose in your life. You know, let him put new life in you and give you that purpose so that you enter his kingdom. You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy God. Let him say that of you. And so just keep in mind that even though the fire has burnt the forest of your life down, if you add the water of the Holy Spirit back to it, you're going to see new life come out of that forest floor. Speaking of your life. So that's what I want to leave people with.
That's right. That's right. Hey, what's the number that they can get a hold of you by?
Again, 800-627-3809.
All right. Well, my name is Doug Thornton. This is Bob Griswold. You've been listening to American Vindicta. Stay frosty, stay trained, stay prepped. We'll see you next time.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping. Whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation, that is the meal that I stick with. And you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5. Mountainstatesurvival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.